Let's go ahead and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to honor our veterans today in verses 3 and 4. Second Timothy 2, 3, and 4. These two verses give us verses on how a soldier should prepare, right, to serve God in honor. And that's what I titled the sermon today, Serving the Lord in Honor. Okay, so the 11th was Veterans Day yesterday. And one of the things that was known originally as Armistice Day, and one of the things is a holiday where we get to recognize all the veterans that have been serving in our military, that have been given honorable discharges, where they finished their course, they did their work, and it coincides with other holidays like our Armistice Day and also Remembrance Day, which are memorials that mark the anniversary of the end of World War I. And this is where we get the original Veterans Day. So, being a soldier in our great country and serving this great nation is an honor. And we as a nation should always show gratitude to our veterans. And one of the things is that they have been faithfully serving our nation and protecting us. This is why we can congregate this morning and no guns are to our head saying we can't mention Jesus. But we can freely come to worship and study the Word of God in this country. And at this moment, I'd like to honor all those great men and women who have served and are serving in the armed forces of the United States. I want you to rise up right now. And we want to honor you. If you've served in the military, come on. Thank you. Thank you. Cool. Thank you. I don't know, stay up because we want to pray for you guys too. But on behalf of a grateful congregation, we want to thank you guys and ladies for all you do to keep our country safe and that we can do what we do because of your faithful service. We don't take it for granted because you guys have been put through a lot for being active members of God's army as well. And so as Christians in the military of the United States of America, we could not do what we do if it weren't for your sacrifices. And we just want to pray for you, thank you for your service, and to let you know there's people praying for you all the time that care about you because of what you've done. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for serving God. And he's going to bless you for that as well as you continue. So let's pray for them. Let's thank the Lord for them, and let's lift them up. Father, I come to you so grateful for these men and women who have given their life to serve us so that we could be able to congregate this morning and enjoy all our freedoms. Father, we cannot repay them for their investment, for their sacrifice, but we can be grateful and lift them up to you for blessing for them and their families. As Father, we know what a beautiful honor it is to be a soldier in the military, but a greater honor is that they're your children. And so, Father, thank you for taking care of them as they served you. And thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing in their lives to continue the legacy that we have in this country to protect our freedoms. Guard their families, provide hedges of protection around them where no weapon formed against them by the enemy, Father, will touch them or come near them, and that, Father, you continue to guard their families. What a blessing it is to have them in our congregation, and we are indebted to them for their sacrifices. So we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for their lives. And Father, I pray you will use them and continue to use them in mightier ways as they are now, Father, as born-again believers enlisted in your army. And so I give you praise. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. All right. So today we're in 2 Timothy. And one of the things that Paul wrote here is how to prepare us to be those soldiers of honor in his army. The moment you became born again, the moment you came to Christ, you were enlisted into God's army. Don't forget that, because right now, a lot of the church is on cruise control. A lot of the church is on a pleasure cruise instead of a battleship. God is coming soon, and you see the ugliness of the world. And as soldiers, we must be in uniform. We must be ready when the Lord returns. Right now, there's a lot of people in their shorts, Hawaiian shirts, with their piña coladas, and saying, we're okay. No, we're not. The world has come into the church. The enemy has come into the church. And we have to be ready to kick him out and be ready for the Lord's return. And you understand that the Lord is coming soon, right? You see the ugliness of the world. And so as his children, we have to remember, we're part of God's army. Each and every one of you, when you got saved, doesn't matter your age, you have been enlisted by someone who loved you so much that he gave his life on the cross for you. And I want you to remember that today as we go through the message. All of us have a greater calling to service. And God has called each and every one of us to protect the cross, his word, and be ready, because the enemy is trying to destroy the generations to come. And we have to be ready to defend them, to become those soldiers of honor. And so, looking at these scriptures today, I want you to see the importance of being ready for the Lord's return, of being ready to be a good soldier, not a bad one, in God's army. And we must always remember, be grateful for these veterans and continue to pray for them, day in and day out, being grateful for the men and women who defend our country. Don't forget them. Okay, so let's look at what we need in order to serve the Lord in honor in his army. And we're all part of it, those of us that are believers. So let's go to verse 3 and begin today's study on serving the Lord with honor. It says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The first thing I want you to get from the teaching today, and our first point, is respond to hardship boldly. Respond to hardship boldly, okay? What did he say? What did Paul say? Suffer hardship with who? With me. In other words, when we're suffering, we're not the only one suffering. There's a body of Christ that comes together. And we pray and we try to defend people, right? And give them hope and give them the gospel. So there's a lot of people who are now part of God's army, part of God's body, that are continually suffering alongside of us. And I want you to see that because it's important, right? Suffer hardship with me. I love that the Lord doesn't recruit us the same way that the worldly recruiters recruit us. How many of you remember in high school, when you were coming out of high school, right away they hit you with the, right, serve. It's not just a business, it's an adventure, right? And they would come, the recruiters would come looking for us right away when we were graduating. And they'd want to recruit us into the service, right? Which is not a bad thing, okay? I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but they would promise you the world and heaven. Man, you're going to be able to travel. You're going to be able to do all these things. And then when they got you and you're in it, you understand it's a whole different picture. They never tell you the real truth. This is what I love about God's army. He tells it like it is from the very beginning. You will suffer hardship. If you are part of God's army, you're going to go through many trials and many times through hell because of who you serve. The enemy doesn't love it when we get into God's army and we take it serious. Notice what he said. He said, being a good soldier, not a bad one. Not one who's AWOL, not one who's MIA, missing in action, right? He says, a good soldier. That means you're at your post where you're supposed to be. That means that you're ready and responsible where God has placed you. Right? So he says, don't be a bad soldier, because that bad soldier shows up late, out of uniform, he's not disciplined, he's not ready to serve at his post, he's missing in action, and he's absent without leave, right? AWOL. And so one of the things you have to understand, and this is the first portion of our scripture this morning, Paul tells us, God is with us when we suffer. We don't suffer alone. I want you to understand that. And when we go through our trials as soldiers of Christ, which we will because we're denting the kingdom of the enemy, one of the things we've always got to remember, we're never going to suffer by ourselves. We have God with us. And especially when you go out and you do these kinds of things for the Lord, right? And people are getting saved. You're going to get hit because the enemy wants to discourage you. And that's one of the things that I've seen the enemy try to do. Every time we do something great for the kingdom, right away he comes back with something and he tries to discourage you. Have you ever had that happen? Or any time where you want to serve God, all of a sudden he puts up obstacles, right? The enemy to prevent you from getting and serving. You've got to rise above that when you're a good soldier, and you have to understand and discern what kind of battle is coming against you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. He's always trying to rob us of being good soldiers, but we will suffer. All of us will. All of us will go through battles when we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, what it says here in various, it means multivariegated in the Greek. That means that he brings you trials. Many times the enemy will hit you from everywhere. Your children, he'll hit you with the kitchen sink, and above anything else, they'll come from all directions. It'll be friends, it'll be the body. Many times there will be battles that are various, and they come in so many shapes and forms that he says, consider it all joy. Now I'm going to ask you a question right now. How many of you love trials? Okay, if you raise your hand, I'm going to beat you just for the sheer pleasure. How many of you love trials? None of us do, right? But he says, consider it all joy. What do you mean, consider it all joy? Well, because you're not going through that trial by yourself. See, the people that were in the church were getting persecuted for their faith. And he tells them, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter all these different trials, because now you're a good soldier in the army. Because you want to stand up and be at your post and say, God, I'm here. I want to be used of you. I don't care what people say about me anymore. I'm all in. And he says, count it all joy. What he's telling you, look, you can experience joy in the midst of any situation. When Paul wrote these epistles, he was in jail most of the time. And he could find joy in those dirty, rotten, dark cells. And he says, count it all joy. Why? Because you will never suffer through a trial by yourself. And you can have supernatural joy given to you regardless of your circumstance. Regardless of what you're going through, you can experience the joy of the Lord in the midst of that trial. Have you ever had dark times come upon your life? And then there's no reason to explain why you're so joyous. That's the Holy Spirit within you working. And he's letting you know you're not alone, that he sees you. But see, those hard times many times draw us closer to God because he's our only hope. And as he keeps us close to him in those trials, remember what James said, right? He doesn't say here in verse 2, if you face trials. What did he say? When you encounter various trials. In other words, we're all going to go through them. But the joy that we can find is we won't go through them by ourselves if we are in the good Lord's army, if we're good soldiers. None of us will ever suffer by ourselves in service to God. If you were to ask the majority of soldiers that are recruited by recruiters here in the world, if they imagine the problems they were going to face, were all told to them in the beginning, how many of them would say, I never even imagined I was going to go through these things. I'm glad that when God recruits us, he tells it like it is from the very beginning. He doesn't put up those false fronts recruiters do many times in order to pad their numbers. He says, when you encounter various trials. In other words, you're going to go through it. And as his children, there'll be tough times in your life. The Lord doesn't recruit the way the worldly army does. He tells you the truth because he knows that we're going against the philosophies of this world. We're going against the way we're being taught and indoctrinated, right, by these false systems in the world, especially the Antichrist systems. And he tells you like it is so that you can be ready for it. You see how ugly the world is getting, correct? And you see how ugly humanity is apart from God. And he's saying, get ready. I hope you're at your post where I put you in the body. I hope you're where I put you and placed you uniquely so that you can await my return and be a good soldier, not a bad one. See, bad soldiers aren't at that post when the war breaks out. They're too concerned with the things of the world. But the soldiers of God have to be ready now. How many of you know he's returning quickly? And we have to be ready. He always told us it would not be easy to serve him. You will endure hardship. But being a good soldier isn't easy. It's going to cost you. If God promised his servants an unbroken run of prosperity, there would be a lot of counterfeit Christians because they'd only come to God to get what they needed. And this is one of the points I emphasized to the people we were giving these blessings to. I said, no amount of blessing we can give you can compare to the blessing of knowing God. Because the only thing you can take to heaven with you is your family and your investments, what you've invested for eternity. Everything else stays. Good soldiers understand that. So they travel lightly in this world. They understand, man, we're on call. I don't need a lot of things because I've got the Lord who will provide for me. So I don't need to go heavy and with all my possessions from here. I know I'm not going to take anything with me, so I'm ready at my post. If God calls me today, I leave everything behind. The cross before me, the world behind me. And that's how our hearts have to be as good soldiers. Remember, one of the things people get all bent out of shape when they go through trials. And God says, look, that's the way it's going to be because this system doesn't want me here. As a matter of fact, they want me out of this world. But when you face a trial, don't look at it as strange because you're loving the Lord and serving the Lord. Be grateful. I'm grateful for the soldiers that have given their life to defend our country because they had to go through hardship in order to keep us safe. And we cannot take those men and women for granted because it cost them a lot of things in order to deliver us. But as Christians, many times we fall apart when trials come because we don't understand what the enemy's trying to do to destroy us. We fall apart because we put our eyes on the problems instead of the God who can serve us and deliver us from those trials. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. Don't think it's strange when you fall into trials. So many people don't understand. Once you become a Christian, you become a big target that the enemy wants to hit to discourage so that God's army gets smaller instead of greater. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your what? Testing. As though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. In the midst of it, you'll find that supernatural joy. So that also at the revelation of his glory, he's coming back soon, you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, look at what it says. You are what? Blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. We're blessed when we get antagonized by the world because of what we believe in. We're blessed when they laugh at us and they say, you're a Christian, man, you're lost. We're blessed whenever the world says we're doing something good and they call it bad. We're blessed if we're doing it for God's glory. And as Christians, we're going to face many challenges in our Christian walk because of what we stand for and who we stand for. And we have never been called as Christians to just enjoy life. Party on. He never told us that. He says, you will endure hardship because we go against everything the world stands for. We have never been called by God to be pleasant and comfortable as his soldiers. I want you to picture a soldier in a foxhole when it's raining hard and water comes up to his knees and even to his head, depending on how deep he is. He's suffering. But he's a good soldier because he's not going to give up his post no matter what comes by. You will be discomforted as a Christian. How many of you understand that? You're supposed to get inconvenienced. There are times when people will call you 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and you have to be there for them. And one of the things as a good soldier, they're there to help them out of the foxholes that the enemy many times puts traps in. We were never told it was going to be easy, but because of the teachings, the evangelistical ministry has been teaching since the 80s, the 90s, and now people have gotten lazy. And there's a lot of soldiers that are AWOL and MIA because they've forgotten the cost that it requires to be a good soldier. Understand, the Lord is coming quick. My job is to prepare you for the battle. And you cannot put your Christian walk on automatic pilot or on cruise control. You have to be in battle gear. See, that's a problem. A lot of Christians think that right now it's cool. As long as I don't get bothered, I'm okay. But instead of being in uniform as a good soldier, they're on a vacation cruise. And they're on that boat, vacation cruise, dressed for vacation, not for battle. We're supposed to be on a battleship as his Christians. Because we are in battle. And Satan is not only trying to destroy us, but our families as well. And if you think you're on a cruise, vacation cruise, ship line, your heart's not in the right place, guys. It has to be battle ready. And the Lord says, I'm coming back quick. What are you doing to get your life in order for me? Where are you serving in order to expand the kingdom of God? These are great opportunities that we've shown you. The more we do those kind of things to reach out to a hurting world, remember, we're called to help the hurting. We're called to help the suffering. And the more we get into that mode and the more we do for the Lord, the more we're going to be blessed as Christians in God's army. See, there's times that we think, oh, let the clergy handle that. That's their calling, not mine. No, we're all called into God's army. So there's a lot of times that Christians have the perspective, I'll let the pastor do all the work. Or I'll let the pastors do all the work, and then we leave them with the package, right? And we forget we're all in God's army. And any good leader who's a shepherd that wants to point you to Christ will tell you, we can't do the battle on our own. We need the body of Christ to come alongside us. That's where you guys step in and take a step of faith. But of course, the enemy's going to make you think, no, you're too busy, you don't have time. But it's a matter of priorities. Am I putting God first? Am I lifting him up? Am I ready to serve God? Is my family ready to serve God? Or are we all on that vacation cruise? We have to understand there's a battle going on. And none of us are supposed to be dressed leisurely. We're supposed to be in battle gear. You guys get me? That's where we're at. And we have to understand that. And I have to prepare you for that. Remember, we have to share in the pain of the ugliness going around the world. And God many times puts us in those positions where we're going through trials and tribulations to be able to help others with the compassion of Christ. But if we're never inconvenienced, we're always just looking for me, myself, and I, we will never be those vessels of honor that God wants to use in the mission field. We will never become those vessels that say, really, I value more their needs than mine. And I become other-centered. It's so important to change our outlook right now as a church, because the world has come into the church. We got to kick it out. And we need the soldiers to rise up. And I don't care about your age. God wants to use you now. How many believe that? Okay, it's important to see that, okay? Remember, one of the things, serving God and serving the Lord in honor is for us to respond to hardship boldly. I know I have to go through it, but I have the Lord to put me through it, and I can count it all joy as God gets me through from trial to trial. Amen? Point number two, in being a good soldier for Christ, remain engaged in battle. You have to be battling the enemy every single day. You cannot take a day off, okay? A good soldier remains in active service. And this is what he wants from us. We have to be active. He realizes that he is in active warfare, not vacation. And so he cannot drop his guard or her guard. All of us have to have our guard up. If we're in the army, we have to be ready, because Satan's trying to destroy the church, because that's what gets in the way of his plan. The church is what gives him a hard time. We oppose what he's doing. And so we come in opposition and we thwart his plans so that we can get more people into the kingdom of God. But you never drop your guard, okay? You have to keep your guard up. What happened to King David when he took a day off? In 2 Samuel, right, chapter 11. He went up to his terrace when his men were fighting the battle. He went home to his palace. He got up on the terrace and he checked out his kingdom. And then all of a sudden there was a beautiful woman bathing, Bathsheba, remember? He took a day off instead of being with his men on the battlefield. And what happened to him? He liked her, he saw her, he brought her in, committed adultery while his men were dying. Whenever you take a day off, Satan wants to destroy you. Understand that. And he will hit you with everything he has. Just when you think it's all going great, then you say, I don't need to pray today, man. Everything's under control. He's licking his chops and he's saying, I gotcha. You took a day off. Now I'm going to move in for the kill. That's how he works. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it calls him like a roaring lion, right? And he's just licking his chops to see who drops their guard. But look at what it says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. That means you're on alert. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. In other words, he doesn't take a day off. He's always looking for vulnerable victims. As Christians in God's army, as a good soldier, you're sober. You're not drunken with the things of the world. You're not enticed by the things that the world offers that take you away from your post. As a Christian, I don't care how young you are, how old you get, you must always be in the post that God has placed you in. There's no retirement for us from keeping our guard up in God's army. We have an enemy that wants to take us down. He wants to wipe us out. He wants to make us miserable and nullify our effectiveness through any way he can. Depression, oppression, you name it. He's coming after you. If you're in your guard, on your guard, and if you have your armor, the armor of God on, right, then you will be able to overcome his attempts to destroy you. But if you're not a soldier battle ready, what happened to David is going to happen to you. And we have to be in battle mode until the Lord comes, and he is coming very soon. When Peter calls him the roaring lion, I want you to understand the role of the roaring lion back in the Bible times. And even to this day, the lion is the king of the pride, okay? Not because he's the most powerful lion in the family, but because of what he once was. He used to be. But the roaring lion is the one going over the hill now. He's slower. He can't go after prey as effectively, right? His feet are slow. His teeth are worn. He's not as quick as he once was, nor as powerful as he used to be. That's the roaring lion back in the days of the Bible. And one of the things, right, because he's slow and not as quick, he only had one assignment, and the pride. You know what that was? Sink deep into the grass. And when the impalas or the animals of prey came near him, like the deer, all he had to do was lie deep in the grass. As soon as that animal would come, his job was just to roar. Just get up, and with his roar, scare that victim, and guess where the victims would go? The opposite way, when they would hear the roar, and they would go where all the young lions were, all the strong ones, all the ones in their peak. And when the animal would go back, they would be devoured because there was so much power there to devour them. I want you to remind yourself of that. That's Satan. He is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But instead of running away from him, right, we should face him. Why? Because we never go through the battle by ourselves. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, correct? So when you see that roaring lion roaring at you, go toward the roar. Go toward the place where Satan is disabled by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Don't run the other way. You get further away, his legions of demons are right behind, ready to devour you. Go toward the roar. Go toward the place where you understand that the Lord has defeated Satan. Right? If you could give counsel to that impala or deer, what would you tell them? Run toward the roar. Don't run the other way because they're waiting for you. And that's my same advice to you. Whenever Satan is hitting you with everything he has, he is like a roaring lion. His fangs have been defanged by the Lord in your life. His feet are not as fast anymore because God, Jesus, destroyed him on the cross at Calvary. Go toward the roar. Face him through Christ, but not alone. Be in his armor, ready to defeat the enemy as a good soldier. The bad soldiers run away from their post and they go right into the pit where Satan is running. In your spiritual walk, remember that. Satan will try to discourage us. He will try to oppress us. But all we have to tell him, look, my commanding general is with me. And I am his soldier. And because I represent him, he will always represent me. So the Lord will rebuke Satan in your life and cast him out and give you victory. How many believe that this morning? He doesn't have what it takes to bring down a good soldier. So don't let him destroy your family or your friends or anybody near you. Go toward the roar in Christ Jesus, in his gear, and you will have victory. You know why I tell you these things? Because there's a Christian corruption of the word today that has come into the church. I call it Christian monopoly. And one of the things about Christian monopoly, right? Just like the game. Ooh, if I only own the hotels. Man, I am king, right? The prosperity doctrine has come into the church for years now, since the 80s. And it's destroyed a lot of the soldiers in God's army. You know why? Many of them are lied to. That once you come to Christ, everything is peaches and cream. Everything is abundance. No more problems, no more worries. Even sickness and death cannot touch you. The name it, claim it, faith movements, all these movements. That is dangerous. You know why? It gets people out of the battle armor of God. And they put on their own uniform. And when the devil comes and real life hits them, their faith is shattered. But I was giving. What do you mean I'm not protected from sickness? But I was giving and giving and giving. So that means you told me nothing but bad would happen. But by that time, it's too late. See, that's how the devil works. Thank God for sound doctrine. And there's a lot of good churches teaching sound doctrine today. But there are many churches failing to feed the soul of the person instead of pleasing their flesh. When you hear sound doctrine, it should not hurt you to hear it. You should receive it and say, thank you, God, that you're preparing me. You know why? All these other places that tickle your ear, they're not preparing you for battle. And that's why the enemy has come in. Because we're asleep. We're not awaiting. It told us to be sober, be vigilant. Because the devil is looking for who to devour. And the Bible warns us in the last days, churches will be listening to false doctrine with a lot of passion. The last days, people will want their ears tickled instead of sound doctrine to protect them from the enemy devouring them. You have to be ready. You have to be ready for battle, especially in the days we're living in today. We're in those days now where people love tickling messages. Messages of pleasure instead of sacrifice. Messages that don't want anything to do but picking up their cross and serving. They want the good times. But that's not real life. And I have to prepare you for the battle according to Scripture. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in according to their own desires. I just want my pleasure. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, right, good soldier in God's army, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, those pictures that I showed you, we're going out to tell people the good news that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in order to go into heaven, right? Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Whatever God told you to do, fulfill it. Go out there and be the good soldier that applies himself to accomplishing the will of God. But we cannot do that if we're too busy in the world. This is one of the things that the Bible teaches us. Don't get entangled with the affairs of the world. Don't get entangled with the pleasures of the world, because it'll take you out of uniform, it'll take you away from your post, and you will be AWOL or missing in action from where God wants you. We have too many churches watering God's word down today and deceiving people. And this is because of their own desires, not allowing the Holy Spirit to be present in the churches today. In the days that we live in now, we see the ugliness of people. They're filled with evil. And many obstacles, right, are luring us away from God. You can see it. There's a danger where the church is asleep instead of in battle mode. And you know something is wrong with our world when people turn to false teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear rather than hearing the truth of God's word. There's something wrong there. And because we've become so infected, a lot of us aren't even recognizing that, right? It's like that frog that you put in hot water and you place him first before the water is hot. You let him in there. Right? You turn up the heat slowly, he'll boil himself to death. But if that frog recognizes the water is already boiling and you put him in, he jumps right out. People have been lured to sleep. And the heat of the world's pressure has been winning people over and over slowly. There's people that are so numb to the truth. There's people so blind to the truth. They'll eventually just boil there and become victims of the enemy. God has given us discernment. God has given us his word to make sure we don't fall prey to that. See, the truth is that there's a vast majority of us in the church so consumed with the things of this world that we forget about our service to God and our spiritual life and our responsibility as good soldiers. Thank God that in our country we have had good veterans that stay their post, that continue to serve faithfully, and we honor them today. Because of those men, our country is still free. Understand, things like sports, TV, jobs, possessions, money, music, dating, games, entertainment, education, hobbies, all these things become idols if you don't watch it. And they replace God in your heart and in your spirit. The Lord told us, don't let these things entangle you. In other words, choke you to death. No active soldier gets himself entangled in these things. Amen? The thing is, are we sober? Are we ready? Are we equipped with God's armor to fight him? So first point, respond to hardship boldly. Point number two, remain engaged in battle. And lastly, remain faithful in that battle. Let's go to the second part of verse 4 and close up today's teaching. Right? So that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So who has enlisted us once we come to God's army? He has, Jesus Christ. And it says, okay, if you're going to be a good soldier, just keep in your heart that main focus that you're going to do everything in order to please the one who recruited you. And he never lied to you, right? When he recruited you, he said, it's going to be tough. You're going to go through trials. And thank him for his truthfulness because that helps you prepare. And one of the issues that I want to leave you with today, that as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, your one objective is to make sure you honor the Lord with your life. Please the one who enlisted you. And the motive here is not one out of duty. It's one out of love. That you appreciate what the Lord has done in your life. And that you're going to serve him with all your heart, mind, soul, because he delivered you from the power of darkness. He delivered you from death and sin. And now you can come into the kingdom for all eternity. But as a grateful person, I'm a good soldier. And I realize I have to be on my post, at my post. And I say, God, I'm ready. Because I love you, not because I have to. It is a conviction that the one you are following is the Lord, the God of heaven and of earth. And because he's done so much in your life already, out of gratitude, you serve him. See, that was particularly true in the Roman armies of Paul's day. Great leaders of the Roman army, that's why they became so powerful, would always surround themselves with people who loved them, who trusted them, and would give their life for them because they saw their dedication. The same principle applies in the army of God. Once you see a person who is sold out for Christ, a leader that says, I will die for my Lord, I will go through anything for my Lord, then the rest of the members in the army come alongside him and help him. They don't leave him alone with the work. They're right there next to him. That's what builds the loving relationships we have. As we have served right together in different ministries, that's what builds our friendship and our love for one another, because we see we're there for each other. I encourage you, any activities that we do as a church, I want us all behind it. Because God is coming soon. But I also want you guys to fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So that we can please the one who enlisted us. See, there's no time for division in the body. There's no time for squabbles or places where we cause division. The time now is to bring unity. And we get behind the causes that we're doing, just like a good commander in the Roman army would encourage his soldiers to fight the battles. That's how they won the greatest wars. They were all united together. And the only way you and I as a church will beat the enemy is when we're united sincerely in spirit and in truth for him, and we start serving him with all our heart, mind, soul. So remember that today. The apostle here, Paul, picks that up and says, this is the way we're supposed to be as Christians. Our one objective is not to get something for ourselves or something from God when we come to him. That's what the problem is. So many people are just asking. It's to do what God called us to do and be good soldiers in that army and say, Lord, I give up my needs so I can serve others. And therefore, I become a soldier who becomes other-centered, that I care more for people than I do for myself. And we do it, right, in love. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:9. Paul's ambition was always to serve God first. And that should be our objective, to please God first. It says, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Wherever I'm at, my one goal is I want to glorify God with my life. And that was Paul's highest goal. And that should be the goal for us as believers. We don't join his army just to have pleasurable experiences. We join his army knowing the responsibility behind it in being good soldiers. Our goal is to please the one who enlisted us because he's always been faithful, he's always been truthful to us. So today I encourage you, are you ready as a Christian to please the one who enrolled you? That means if you haven't been serving him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, you have some baggage to get rid of. And that baggage is mostly from the world. And you have to acknowledge that and get rid of that old gear and put on the new one, the armor of God. And say, Lord, I want to serve you faithfully because I know you are coming soon. We can see the signs. Everything in these last days is aligning. Ezekiel 38 and 39, we have all the world's powers around the Middle East. And he is coming soon. And he could come at any time. But how many soldiers are AWOL and how many soldiers are MIA right now? Missing in action. Because they're not at the post where they should be. I encourage you today to remain focused, to remain stable in your walk with God, that you honor the Lord. Remember, the goal is to enlist to please the one who enlisted us and continue to be battle ready. Are you ready if God were to come today? Is your family ready if God were to come today? Have you been equipping your children, parents, to make sure they're ready if the Lord were to come today? So remember our points today. Respond to hardship boldly. God will always be with you when you suffer. You're never left alone. And when you share in his pain, that's fortunate. He says, you're blessed. Because if you're doing that work for me and you're getting persecuted, that means you're in the post where I put you in. Not having a good time just for yourself, but now concerned about the salvation of others. So remember that. We're called to to love the hurting. And we're called to bless those who are suffering. But we must be ready. And then remember to remain engaged in the battle. Christian, you are in active warfare. Get rid of the vacation clothes. Get off the pleasure cruise. And get on the battleship destroyer so that you can fight the enemy. Understand, be battle ready. Okay? And then, remember, do not drop your guard. The roaring lion will be there, ready to eat you up and send you the wrong direction so that you can be eaten up by his legions of demons. Okay? To destroy you. And then remain faithful in the battle. Stay focused on who enlisted you and who is the one you want to please and honor. Make your goal stable for the kingdom of God, and that your goal will be to please the one who enlisted you. So today I challenge you, are you battle ready? And are you at your post? And if you're not, it's never too late to just say, Lord, get me back. I was missing in action. I was absent without leave, AWOL. But here I am to be counted and be ready. Just like I told the people yesterday, there's only two investments that you can take with you to heaven. Number one, your family. That's it. Everything else stays behind. And number two, your investments. for eternity. Those are the only two things you can take. Have you invested into eternity by being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Everything else stays behind, guys. So work hard on getting your families ready. Work hard on working hard for the Lord until he comes back to you. It keeps you away from loving the world and the things in it. It's a good way to always be involved in the things of God, okay? And then come humbly before the throne and humble yourself. If you haven't been doing that, that's all right. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be ready. That if you do come today, I'm a good soldier, not a bad one. And that I will be ready to follow you no matter what you ask me to do. I give up my rights, my desires, so that I can honor you and glorify you with my life. Amen? Let's stand up. I'd like the worship group to come up. Like every head bowed this morning. Now I'm going to ask you, if you've never enlisted in God's army, you've never been saved by the blood, that today you make your decision. I want to be a good soldier for Christ. And that requires dying to self. I must die to my own needs, my own desires. And I must say, Father, let your will be done in my life. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. I'm a sinner who needs forgiveness. As we're praying today, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I pray you do it today. That you surrender your life to him. And that you say, Lord, I'm ready. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me of my sin and my guilt. And I want to be born again into your kingdom. I surrender my life. Have your will with my life. And so today, if you are in God's army, remain focused. He is coming so very quickly. And make sure that your goal every day is to say, Lord, I want to please you with my life. I want to honor you. Now, if you're a backslider and you've gotten away from God, you've gone AWOL or MIA, and you're not where you should be as a Christian, today is the day to return to him and give him your life again. And say, Lord, I'm so sorry. The cares of this world, the things of the world attracted me. And I've been leaving you slowly. I just recognize that. And I want to come in under your covering. Father, I pray for all of us as we continue, Father, to honor our veterans today, to thank them that they remain faithful to what you called them to do to defend our country. Father, help us to be those faithful Christians that defend your country, your kingdom. And that, Father, we will not be found AWOL or MIA, but submitted to your will and your word, and that we're battle ready. Bless your people with a beautiful day, Father. Thank you for our country. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy because of the lives, the countless lives that have sacrificed to give us that freedom. And thank you for the people who are currently serving, Father, to protect us and to make this life a good life that we live in. Father, there's so many things we take for granted. Help us to really value what we've been given through your suffering on the cross, and that we will take care of our lives, Father, to be able to sacrifice for others as well. That's the great news. None of us have to be left behind. Lord, you provided the way to get everyone saved in our sphere of influences, and where we have, Father, the love for them, to be able to tell them the truth. And it doesn't matter how they feel or how they react. Father, all we have to do is plant and seed, and you will give the growth and the results. So bless your people today with a beautiful day. Let them leave this place so grateful for everything you've done to deliver us from the power of death and sin, and Father, to give us these great lives that we now have in you. Bless their homes, bless their children and their children's children. And thank you again for the word that you give us. And thank you for our veterans today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. God bless you guys. We'll sing one more song and then we will dismiss.